What is going on in the food industry? What major problems does the food industry face today? Which solutions are already in development? Does one of these questions resonate with you? Then episode number 68 might be right for you.
I would like to bring him or her a message, which is believe in your dreams and believe it's possible. You don't need to be in the US, you don't need to be in Europe for bringing new dreams to come true. If you think your solution is powerful, if you think your solution is different and it's innovative, then keep looking forward for the solution, maybe.
This is episode number 68, in which I discuss questions like this with Lina Toro and Mauricio Agudelo, two entrepreneurs from Latin America. The recording happened in November 2021, and we were talking about the problems in the food industry, what solutions are already in development and coming to the market, biotech's mission, why you should create a startup, and much, much more. In this episode, I present Biotech, which is a company in Colombia, and Biotech assists animal protein producers to improve productivity and profitability through precision nutrition, understanding their particular dietary needs, analyzing them through a bioinformatics platform that uses artificial intelligence, and supplying the next generation antibiotic-free additives that will facilitate performance to obtain the desired results. The CEO and co-founder of Biotech is Mauricio Agudelo. He is a chemical engineer by training and has complementary studies completed in project management and tech management, business and finances. He has 9 years of experience in biotechnology companies and is co-inventor of several patents and started two companies already. He is accompanied by his CFO, Lina Maria Toro. Lina Maria Toro has an MBA, 9 years of experience in the financial industry, and 4 years of experience in the biotechnological sector. She did complementary studies in digital marketing and is an accomplished leader in administrative and marketing processes. I hope you enjoy this episode the same way as I did. Welcome to a new episode of the Life Science Get Together podcast, Beginner's Mind. Today, I'm very happy to have two guests from, I would say, from the Vienna perspective, sunny Colombia, Mauricio Agudelo and Lina Toro. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you for having us here.
Thank you so much, Christian, for having me here.
It's good to see you. How is the weather in Colombia?
Well, the weather is kind of rainy and it's cloudy today, so it's not like the very sensational tropical weather you might have in your mind, but still it's an enjoyable temperature.
Where are you located in this beautiful country?
We are located in a region close to the second main city of the country. It's called Medellin. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of the mountains and it's always rainy and it's always very tropical weather.
And warm sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's warm.
In Vienna, it's a little bit cloudy, snow. So we have more wintry weather around 0 degrees Celsius. And it's in the middle of the city. So it's, I think the view from your office is probably a little bit more beneficial than my view, where I just see the rooftops of Vienna. How is the view from your office?
Full of mountains.
Yeah, full of mountains, full of cows, full of horses all over. We've decided to have our headquarters like in the middle of the farms and in the country part of the city. So yeah, you can see a lot of tropical birds all over, full of color and flowers all over the place. It's very, very nice. It's very nice to have like our office in this environment.
And I, as Lina said, we took that decision to have our headquarters in this place because this is a dairy industry around us. A pork industry is rural, but with a high potential to grow. So one of the things that we have on our mind is to develop the regions, not just the city. So yeah, part of the work we do through BLTech is to push the industry in the rural sectors to everyone keep there in not to move to the city, as is most common.
If in case there you hear a dog barking, we really sorry for that. But our neighbors are all full of dogs, and we can't. Yeah. So.
It's no problem. I liked it. It gives a nice it gives a nice flavor to this podcast episode.
Okay. Yeah, we've tried to have like the closest dogs controlled, but you know, it's all full of dogs all over. So
I believe that. Mauricio, Lina, we met at the IFIP European Forum for Industrial Biotechnology and the Bioeconomy in Vienna. How was the conference for you?
I think it was great for us. We have been going to this fair for the last 3 years, part of the lockdown by the COVID. But before that, we were dead because in 2019, we were selected as one of the most innovative startups in biotech by DSM and TU Delft, a validation lab. They make a contest, and we were one of the finalists in that process. So we met that fair, and we really enjoyed the conference and the new topics that we can talk there, and to the partnering with the potential investor and what is going in that field is very exciting for us.
Lina, how was it for you?
Well, actually, I'm a very technical brand manager. So for me, it's like I need to understand a new language, to understand and learn new trends in the market and the different solutions that
scientists bring to different problems that maybe sometimes we don't even know that they're there. So it's quite interesting for me to be in this kind of events where you can see a different point of view of how the Europeans decide to solve several problems that we don't even consider in Latin America. So it's like the conscience level. And yeah, we have a mission to bring all this message to Latin America and to tell them that, look, like this is real. This is a problem and it's coming. And we have to think about our future and the future generations. So yeah, it's quite exciting for us. And every time it's like knowing people from all over Europe, not like the always countries like Germany or Spain or France, but also from Austria, Lithuania, and Eastern Europe. It's very, very interesting to know that how you all guys are solving the common problems we all have.
Yeah, I completely agree to what you both are saying. I think it's a great idea to exchange ideas and talk about problems. What do we have in common? Where are differences? What are different point of views? What are common point of views? And bringing people together. I enjoy it, especially the socializing part at the conference, because it was the first one in 2 years that I attended. And what I learned at this conference, what I was absolutely not aware of, is that there is a lot going on in the food industry. So I'm coming from drug development, with a pharma background, and for food is food. So what innovation would you like to bring to food? I couldn't imagine that. And then came the conference and I saw many great things. And you started talking about problems. And I'm curious, from your perspective, you know, South America, Latin America, you know, I think also North America, and you travel to Europe. So you got a really great overview about the major problems in the food industry. And I'm curious, could you share a little bit of your insight into this area?
Yeah, well, the biggest problems we have is that we have to nourish the growth, the growing population you have to produce more with less because there's not enough soil cultivated land for having these crops
to produce the grains and cereal that animal needs and human need to be nourished. So this is a huge problem because population is growing and less resources are unavailable. So yeah, and a few big companies are in charge of the whole nutrition, the entire nutrition of the entire world. So some issues come up, like high density, for example. Yes, and when you have high density, you need extra food to support the tension of the boundary. You are pushing the land. And I think it's a consequence of the globalization war in the market. So we need to create or to develop a new tools in order to support that that extra effort over the land. And I think one of the biggest challenges of food industry or manufacturer, because they must produce more food with less resources and healthier, cleaner, greener, and less processed, besides with a great test, such a big deal. But if we talk about particular problems in food industry, we must consider the production of animal protein. FAO has said the increase on the demand in 2050 to 70%, but we don't have enough arable land, cultivable land, to produce the grains and cereal we need to nourish everyone. So we must improve efficiency and find alternative solutions. One of the most solutions to improve efficiency is the use of growth promoters, mainly antibiotics. However, the excessive abuse has increased global concerns related with the antimicrobial resistance, AMR. According with the WHO, AMR can kill more people than cancer in the near future. So, okay, one of the biggest challenges in the protein market is how can we produce more meat, milk, and eggs to nourish the growing population with less resources and curb the AMR?
Actually, this is one of the reasons why the use of antibiotics as growth promoters has been banned in the European Union and also in China last year. So here in Latin America, there's also beginning to have some certain regulations about the use of these antibiotics. And this is how we have like defined the problem in the food industry.
Yeah, I can frame it into big problems with efficiency and microbial resistance.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. So your findings are that there won't practically be enough meat to feed the entire world population. And I also think the switch from meat to vegan is not an option, because you mentioned that there is not enough land already to produce what's necessary to feed humans and animals. Yeah. Is this the right impression that I got?
Yeah, it is.
That's great. That's great. I mean, I got a very narrow overview in a couple of days and meetings at the AFIP. I'm very interested in hearing your opinion about what solutions do you see on the market that tackle these problems? What's going on currently?
Okay. This is a complex problem, and there are too many solutions from different point of views. I think all of them helps with the problem, and we need to combine them to create a holistic solution. But we can mention those alternative protein sources, mm-hmm. like insect protein, plant-based protein, cultivated meat. But in our field, we are really focusing precision farming and precision agriculture. And that means when we talk about precision farming, we need to talk about the new tools, the new technologies like artificial intelligence, big data, genomic revolution, CRISPR, and so on, metagenomics. All those technologies help us to set the problem and to solve it in more specific way. We were mentioned before that there are not enough arable land to produce the grains, but how many ways or how many feces producing the animals without be processed or convert into meat? So if we understand better the function of the, for example, microbiome or microbiota, and how this variable plays a role into the growing of the animal, we can be more efficient in the meat production and create circular economies and reduce the greenhouse gases, yes, and so on. So that is what we see.
It's good to have you here on this podcast episode. I just realized that they really have a lot of blind spots in that area. So before this conference, it was just, yeah, food is food, and I can buy it somewhere in at the store. And after I met you at the conference, I realized that there is a lot of things that can be optimized, and that you have great ideas, especially what you mentioned, Mauricio. Also, I was absolutely not aware that these technologies that you mentioned, big data, can be used beneficial also in the food industry for nourishing the animals, also artificial intelligence. And this brings me to the point and the question, what is your company building? What is your focus point in that industry?
Okay, what we are doing in Vialtech is being part of this farming precision. More specific, we can be classified as the precision farming, and we are setting a revolution focusing transforming the animal nutrition through the four business units. The first one is microbiome and fermentation. Mm-hmm. That means we want to we are working in production of new probiotic strain that can remodel the microbiome of the animals. So that is the first business unit. The second one is microencapsulated precision feed additives. So this is more the focus of Vialtech. And we are talking about the specific formulation to go directly to the gut of the animals and make this change that I mentioned before. But we need to protect them against the thermal, digestive, and storage processes. So yeah, it's something that must be easier to apply in the field. And the third business unit is more specific precision farming. We call Turing AI. And it's focusing precision diets. That means where is the relationship or the links between among all of different variables like nutrients, feed additives, but also management, environmental condition, and so on, and how these data we can create our predicted models to optimize the growth of the animals. So that is what we do with precision farming with Turing AI. And I think it's a more holistic approach to the problem. And at the end, we have the four business units, who is production of meat, free of antibiotics, and free of AMR genes. So this is so important. We are establishing a joint venture with a meat producer to have this showroom farm, because we want to show everyone that the revolution is possible and that we can produce cleaner meat free of these antimicrobial resistant genes in a circular economy with more benefits than more investment. And that is a key of what we are doing. All those four units are part of ATG, who is Animal Tech Group, and is a holding we are building to approach the problem from a broader perspective.
It's very interesting. I like this, the term that you use, precision farming, and just popped up the other term in my mind, precision nutrition. How does it work exactly? Can you explain it a little bit more? What's the difference in feeding the animal before using your solution and with your solution? What's the what are they doing exactly in that area?
Can I say the nutritional or the sub technicians, they were taught to understand what are the needs of the animals according with the weight of the animal, the age of the animals. So they have these needs of energy and the needs of protein, of nutrients. And some equations, some curves were built with this information many years ago. Now we know that in the farm, the animals grow at different rates, not as we predicted with the equation that we knew before. So now we know that there are other variables involved in this, but these variables plays complex roles in the growing of the animals. So for human intelligence, it's not sufficient to understand the complexity between all those variables. So now we have artificial intelligence. We are understanding very big data. We are understanding deep learning, machine learning. And with those tools, we can create new algorithms to optimize the growing of the animals. So these new technologies help us to make a precision nutrition. And this is the key for the future, because it will help to reduce the use of resources and to reduce the waste in the meat production. I think in the future, the new cell technicians, they need to understand the role, for example, the microbiome in the growing process and the other variable that I mentioned before. And we need to develop new softwares who help them to create better formulation according with the location, with the particular condition of the farm, with the particular condition of the meat production.
It's very interesting to me. I heard, I read HelloFresh is a German company, and they basically deliver food, so online, and they have a nice mission. Their model is they deliver food boxes to the house, and everybody can, they get a recipe, a food box with a recipe, and people learn to cook again at home. And when I was looking on their website, they have a very nice mission. They say they want to deliver high quality food at affordable prices to everybody. And when I hear your solution that you are presenting, and I connect this to, I would say that your approach, when you start feeding the animals and you have a lot of measure points in the value chain, that you have the possibility to remodel the entire value chain, that you make the animals, let's say, healthier, you give them more nourishing food and optimize that alongside, so that at the end of the day, the quality of the meat increases tremendously. Is that the right perspective that I get?
Yeah, but it's not only for meat. It also includes milk and eggs and fish. Yeah. It's like for all these solutions.
But you are right. And even I think if we can understand that is something that we are already doing, the microbiome and the correlation with the productivity, the growing, then we can understand also what is the precision nutrition for human. Because at the end, it's not that bad food, good food is the balance between, it's the pain of the lifestyle you have, the needs of energy you have according with your lifestyle, and the balance is the key. And understand, for sure, the composition of what you're eating, what kind of protein, what kind of carbohydrates, what kind of fat, what kind of vitamins and so on, it is something important. But also it's important to understand what kind of additives are you using to cultivate a specific microbiome, a specific microbiota, a specific group of bacteria who help us to absorb better nutrients and to keep healthy. I don't know, but if you know, microbiome has the 70% of the immunity in a mammal. So yeah, in the gut, we produce a lot of immunity. And that is something important. For example, we have trials in field, in the farm, with farms that have been using antibiotics as growth promoters and the treatment. This is the control with antibiotics, and the treatment is without antibiotics, just with feed additives that we produce, probiotics, microencapsulated probiotics. And we can see genes, antimicrobial resistant genes in the control group with antibiotics, but in the other group with probiotics, less amount of antimicrobial resistant genes. And then when infection take advantage in the farm, the animals with the high antimicrobial resistant genes is more difficult the treatment because they already have this resistance. But in the other hand, the treatment with probiotics is more efficient. So yeah, I can tell you, we have trials where the mortality in the antibiotics group is 3.5%, but in our group is just 0.5%. And that difference in mortality is as much, everything is breaking down a wall, because everybody think that if you are using antibiotics in a small amount, you are improving the immunity of the animals. But now we know that is not correct at certain point, because they develop these AMR genes, and in the other case they don't develop these genes, so the infection can be treated more efficiently if we use just natural or biotechnical additives as we are producing.
Besides the feed conversion rate, for example, which is more efficient also because the animals with the probiotics can take more nutrients from the feed, so they eat less and they convert into more protein. So at the end, it's all about profits, like economical profits in the end. So you will be producing more meat or more eggs or more milk with less amount of feed. And that will be cheaper, the production costs. And we have also several field trials which demonstrates the increase in the incomes due to the lower costs in the production.
I mean, I like both approaches, because they tackle two problems. So one problem still that we have in the world is poverty. And this is why I mentioned the Hello Fresh mission, to bring healthy food to make healthy food available for everybody at low cost. So what you're doing basically meets this demand that we make food healthier and more affordable. And the second thing I liked from what you're saying is that indeed, I mean, there's a lot of discussion in the healthcare system about the role of the microbiome and when it comes to immunity, what effects a healthy or unhealthy microbiome has. And there are a lot of funds who are investing in that, like, for example, the venture from Paris, France, that started with that already 10 years ago. In my world, they always saw it like, you can measure it, you can recommend how to change it to people when they go to the doctor. And after what you said, Mauricio and Lina, I had the thought that it really starts with what people put in their mouths. So basically when they eat, a low quality meat, probably it has an effect also on the microbiome. I'm not a doctor, so I'm just guessing, and this is guesswork here. When I just try to be a little bit creative without giving any health advice, it sounds to me like you can start measuring the effects of animal nutrition in animals with your solution. And in an ideal world, if we expand that, then you can start connecting your insights with the insights of the healthcare system and start connecting the dots on high level and probably also with blockchain technology to really make the data secure and also being able to really analyze the whole data flow from the development of diseases in humans to the beginning of the value chain, the nutrition that animals get. Do you think this is a possibility in the future that we do that?
Could be part. I think we need to connect all the other dots, like the other nutrients that humans are consuming. So that is important. I think it's part, but yes, in animal nutrition, we can control more the nutrition of the animal and the lifestyle of the animal. Mm-hmm. In human, there are more variables involved, so it's more chaotic. But yeah, I think in the future, we could understand much better the lifestyle and the precision nutrition in order to be more healthier people. Or to help healthier people.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
That's amazing insight. There is this other movement. It's especially when you listen to podcasts from the United States, they talk a lot about organic food, organic nutrition, and properly fed animals. Does that play a role also in your decision model, in your company model?
Yeah, actually, we have like mantra in our company, which is, look, the sentence said by Hippocrates, that is,
let food be your medicine and medicine be your food.
Exactly. So this is like, this defines what we're going to do every day in our schedules. Like, what we're aiming with our efforts is going to bring good food to everyone's dishes. Like, we want everyone all over the world to have good food of good quality, and we need the animals to be as healthy and they have to have as much welfare as possible.
That's great. That's a great idea. I like it. That's a really, really great vision and mission. And I think it's attributed also to Hippocrates, what you said, let food be the medicine and medicine be the food. So I really love that. I really love that. We are talking about big trends. So we mentioned artificial intelligence. We mentioned big data, genomics revolution. Are you aware of other trends that are currently going on in the food industry that you can light up my blind spots a little bit more?
I think metagenomics, microbiome, artificial intelligence, but also, as you mentioned before, organic food, less processed food, mm-hmm. superfood, that food can nourish more efficiently. There are trends in the food industry, circular economies also impact the production of food is very important. And I think, for example, some interesting fact is that in the last 20 years, the meat consumption has increased 58%.
Really?
Yeah, This increase is due to both to the growing world population and to the higher consumption per person. But you know something, 85% of the increase in the world meat consumption was mainly due to developing countries, including China.
Because, for example, in China, people were vegetarian, not because they wanted to, but because they couldn't afford a piece of animal protein. Now that they're wealthier and then they're having like more capacities for paying for more expensive money, so they're starting to have at least one piece of meat per day. So this is one of the reasons why there's this increase in the meat consumption, right? So, and it's also happening also in Latin America, that people is starting to having the option to afford the first piece of meat or a glass of milk for the first time in their lives. So this is the reason why the consumption is increasing, despite there's a lot of vegan or insect protein alternatives. It's like we all have to be mixed as solutions in the market, because there's a lot of people that we have to feed, and there's a lot of good quality element that we have to give to all over the world.
I like this idea. I think with the modern technology and also the connectedness of the world through the internet, it's possible the first time that we have this conversation on a global scale to solve many problems in all countries of the world and give proper access to food to everybody. I mean, this is a right solution. I'm curious. I mean, I started in the 90s with, let's say, the problems we had back then. Are there many people like you in your country and also what you met your age group that are interested in creating a sustainable environment globally? Is that a major trend also in the population currently that you observe when you are talking to other people?
I think people has the feeling, but they need more knowledge. Mm-hmm. Understand the problem, because it's a huge problem. So yeah, they want to, but they need more knowledge. And I think it's part of the globalization world. People start focusing in specific problems, and they put away the root or the basis that is, for example, food, and to understand what is the economy related with that. So yeah, everybody wants better food, but not everybody want to understand what is the process behind that and what is the science behind that. But yeah, everybody wants that everything is going to be better.
So it means we still need to do some work to raise awareness for this area, that it's a very important one globally. And maybe the podcast helps a little bit to do the job, to get the right message out. I was talking about the 90s. Let's go to the next set of questions. I mean, when I was at the university, it was pretty much straightforward. Get a degree very quickly and then find a job in a big corporation. And you work up the career ladder until you hit your 50s, and eventually you will get fired. And then it's the right point in time to start a company before you retire, so that you make a little bit of money that you can spend the last 20 years of your life, let's say, with sufficient resources. Now I realize it was here in Austria, started, I think, my world around 2010, that more and more young people had the dream, like what's quite common in the United States, like as I learned. Also, young people here had the dream to start a company right after graduating or before graduating. And I'm curious to hear from you too, what motivated you both to decide to found a company, not very close to retirement, but earlier in life? What was your decision point?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Coaching Conversation 2024. This podcast is 100% dedicated to leadership and leadership within the workplace coaching area. We work with companies throughout the world teaching leaders how to coach their employees. This podcast is dedicated to teaching specific strategies, frameworks, coaching models, and now artificial intelligence strategies to help leaders drive greater teamwork, collaboration, cooperation, greater attitudes, better motivation, coaching career development, just to name a few. I hope you'll check out our podcast.
Interesting questions.
Yeah. I think all my life I have been very curious about science. I am a chemical engineer, and one of the things that I love to study chemical engineering is because I can understand better the processes involving everything, the chemical process, physical process, biological processes. So yeah, that was something in science that really pushed me to start. And also I love to make sports all my entire life. So I very trying to find a connection between what I eat and what the exercise that I do, and find the balance between those topics. And then I have been thinking deeper and superior purpose in my life, what I want to tell in the world. And we have a superior purpose, which is transforming the animal nutrition to precision farming, precision additives, and precision agriculture. So when you have that call inside, the best way to follow your faith is making that happen. That is the reason why I founded BLTech first. And now that is the reason we are founding Animal Tech Group as an holistic company.
And in my case, Christian, I was kind of, I had a different story to tell. Because I actually, when I finished my university, I started working in a big corporation, like in the financing bank, like in the biggest bank in Latin America. And I was there for 9 years. And I discovered that I had very limited options by staying in the big corporations. Who would believe that? Like, they have all the money you need. They have all the options. But yet you cannot reach your personal goals when you think globally, you know?
So I just decided to quit my job and
start. Like Mauricio was talking about a superior purpose. Mine I was a Girl Scout when I was a kid. So I was raised with a thought of you have to leave the world in a better situation of how you found it. So I wasn't finding the way I could do it by working in a bank, you know? So I had to be brave, and I had to take the decision, and I started to, and I just came here to this roller coaster of emotions and situations that will bring us the possibility to bring our superior purpose into our reality.
I'm
other thing that I want to mention is, I think the new generation are more conscious about the role in the life. And yeah, we need to take the control of our lives and try to make a change in the world. And we believe in that. So if we believe that we can make a change, go for it and let's do it. And it's very exciting, as Lina mentioned, it's a roller coaster. Yeah. But it takes a lot of good moments and good knowledge and good experience.
That's not only one, there are many sound visions. I'm deeply impressed. So I'm still digesting what you said. And I really like your statement, Lina, that you said you aim for leaving the world in a better state than you found it. And mm-hmm. I think this is a great attitude. And also, Mauricio, I mean, if I understood it right, maybe I didn't listen closely enough, but I got the message that you started one company and now you're in the process already started a second company. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, that's right. We started with BL Tech, and even BL Tech is the second startup we create. We already created another one before.
Yeah.
We produce glucose from cassava starch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to make hydrolysis, enzymatic hydrolysis to produce sugars from starch. And we sold that company some years before. Mm-hmm. And we started with BL Tech, focusing feed additives, in precision feed additives. Now we are selling in Colombia our feed additives, mainly pork and pet food. Mm-hmm. Our probiotics, our microencapsulated probiotics. But now with this diving into this market, we understand that we need more holistic vision. And that is the reason that we are creating Animal Tech Group and is trying to establish a more complex company that approach to the different problems that we are mentioned before. And that means that BL Tech will be focused on feed additives and microencapsulated feed additives, but Turing AI will be focusing artificial intelligence software to understand better other combination. And we have the other one focused on fermentation, production of probiotics and new strains. And the other one is the production of meat free of antibiotics. So yeah, it's the four business units that I mentioned before are part of Animal Tech Group, and BL Tech will be part of this holding.
That's amazing. So you are not only identifying problems and go down in the direction to start complaining and say, okay, I mean, this and that person created the problem. You're really doing it. You are creating solutions and at scale. So not only one solution. So you see a problem, you solve it. I really like that. This is a great attitude. I think you have a good chance to really make the world a better place with your attitude. You should keep that up, even if sometimes the going gets tough. I really like that.
Thank you.
No, I'm very impressed. Talking about starting companies, so you are both proficient in doing that and also jumping from big corporations into the exciting world of startups, which I know from experience is not always easy. And there are a lot of challenges around the corner and on the way. I'm here in Europe and I have an audience in the podcast that is about 30% in North America. Then we have about 40%. 50% in Europe and the remaining part all over the world. I'm pretty sure that part of the audience is interested in connecting to the startup ecosystem in your country and also in Latin America. And I perceive you two as the best experts in my community about the situation in the startup ecosystem in Colombia. And also maybe we can talk a little bit about the startup ecosystem in other countries in Latin America. Could you give us more insights in that area?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Moving is right up there with death and divorce in the stress Olympics. But fear not. Turn that box of woes into a crate of woes with moving tips in the Life Beyond Boxes podcast with Premium Q Moving. Dive into the world of hassle-free moves, learn tips and tricks to save on cash and your sanity. Say goodbye to those moving meltdowns and hello to the smooth sailings. Or should we say smooth movings? Tune into Life Beyond Boxes with Premium Q Moving on lifebeyondboxes.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. And with us, unpack the secrets to a stress-free move.
Yeah, I can say that the most relevant startups in Latin America are those related with technology. Latin America still lacks Asia, Europe, and United States in terms of volumes of tech and biotech startups. However, the widespread and increasing use of smartphone, wireless networks, and payments card has created a ready demand for new digital services. So this is pushing new tech startups in Latin America in general. Even the investment in Latin America in the first 9 months of 2021 for a startup has increased 174% from all 2020. It's about $15 billion the investment in Latin America, and new unicorns are rising, even from Brazil, of course, and also Chile. Colombia has two new unicorns from delivery and technology. I think that is another important thing. In the history of the world, we have the first revolution, the second revolution, industrialization. And at the beginning, we are developing countries. And we say, okay, we need to leave the same process, first revolution, second, third, and fourth. But now the globalization give a shortcut because we can jump from the second to the fourth one. So it's impressive, very impressive, very amazing, because we have some startups that are jumping directly to the to the IPOs and listing in the US. So that's great for Latin America. Now there is a kind of boom of Latin America. So that is very important. For instance, Rodrigo Maldonado is an executive director at Morgan Stanley in Brazil. And he said that companies in the region have matured in the last 5 years. And now he thinks there will be likely be between two and three IPOs by the next year in Europe from Latin America. So that is great for us. And another important topic or thing with Latin America is the region, as region produces 14% of the world's food to the world, according to Bloomberg, and has only 9% of the worldwide population. So this region holds a third of the freshwater resources, and even it has a high potential of agriculture. The more arable lands are located, available arable lands are located here in Latin America. So a huge potential to become a pantry world is Latin America, and is something that very important to nourish the future. But we need, of course, to develop the technology and to connect the communities to be able to become in that country that the world needs.
If there's a listening from this podcast that is from Latin America
and is thinking about in a biotechnological solution, I would like to bring him or her a message, which is believe in your dreams and believe it's possible. You don't need to be in the US. You don't need to be in Europe for bringing your dreams to come true. If you think your solution is powerful, if you think your solution is different and it's innovative, then keep looking forward for the solution. Maybe in Latin America, there are some people maybe the government or whatever, they're not prepared already for the solutions you have. But it doesn't mean that your solution is not working. It just means that it's not the right country. Then look for the solutions and bring, it's like what we're doing. We've been traveling like all over the world, talking about our solutions and talking about our dreams, or talking about the way we're bringing the solutions to the problem in the market. And the world has listened to us, and we've been growing a lot. For example, this year we grew like 3-4 times in our sales due to the campaign we've been doing all over the world, like in the solutions we're bringing. And of course, local government is helping us, is supporting us, but there's a lot of things to do still in Latin America. When I began in this startup, for me, it was kind of, how would you say, like weird to talk about biotech in Colombia. But then after you get really into this subject, you discover that there's a lot of people which are also bringing biotech solutions for different things, and which are happening all over the world. And we need to believe in our greatness. We need to believe that we are the same capable as an European or North American or Indian or Chinese to bring a solution to the world.
You have an amazing spirit, you two. I really liked it. So this message is awesome. Keep on fighting. Keep fighting for what you believe in. And you have the world open today. I mean, the internet is a great solution. So you can reach out to anybody from everywhere in the world and people are listening. And this is really great words. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah. No, it's good to have you here. You mentioned that fighting and that you need to move forward. How is the reality for startups in Latin America? What are the pain points that you face that you believe investors from the United States and Europe can help solve?
Yeah, for sure. Developed countries has the resources to boost the innovation in Latin America and in these developing countries. As Lina said before, we have the skills. We need to work more in a group, as a group, together. I think is something that we need to keep improving. But for sure, we need that Europe and US keep looking at us and see the possibilities to make a big change in the world. So that is so important, and is one of the reasons that we are moving abroad and traveling around the world, finding potential investors who want to join us in this journey to change the way that we produce meat right now. And even is one of the reasons that we are setting up our business in the Europe. Europe is a more mature market in a reduction of antibiotics as growth promoters. So they know better how is to produce meat with less antibiotics as growth promoter. And we have data that prove that we can do better with the additives that we have. That is something that, okay, we need to be there and to show what we are doing. And on the other hand, we need to keep overcoming the challenges here in the Latin America to proving everyone that we can produce better meat in a more efficient way. We have land, we have resources, and we need more technology, and it's something that we want to bring here.
Yeah, it's like in Europe, or for example, in the United States or Canada. There's a lot of technology and there's a lot of budget. And here we have a lot of resources. Like, we have found the strengths of each area and we want to mix them all to add the options to develop a sustainable solution, which is going to be in a long-term impact, which is what we are looking for. And this is why we're inviting international investors to participate in this initiative.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. For a Latin America biotech startup, it's not easy at all to go to the huge company and say, okay, we have a solution that can replace their solution from European or North American companies and to prove that we have a more specific technology for this particular condition, like tropical weather and so on, overcome those challenges to set our credibility. It takes times and a lot of effort. But for example, this year was a great year for us because it's 3 years after we launched the 4CellFeed line, which is our line of probiotics microencapsulated, and we could reach a break even. And as Lina said before, grew 3.5 times respect to last year. And we are in a accelerate process to keep conquer the local market and to expand to the closer countries like Chile, Mexico, and other countries here. And for sure, we will start with the EFSA certification in Europe, who is a process, a tough process, but we do. And we hope in 2 years to have the certification in our hands.
Sound success stories. So you have tremendous growth. You found, you're in the process of founding your third company. And if I got it right, you also have plans to establish operations here in Europe. Did I hear that correctly? So you're doing it, basically. You're moving forward at hyper speed. Elon Musk should watch out. What are your plans for Europe?
Our plans for Europe, we were winners of this contest in 2019, but DSM is a feed additives company. Oh, yeah. And TUDEL. And now they has this company builder called Planet Bio. There is a place in the Netherlands to soft landing start operation there. I think is suit for us. We are keep looking in other parts, in Germany, in France, even in Spain. And it's most likely we will be there in Planet Bio in the Netherlands, establish our operation. The first part we want to do is to go for the EFSA certification, but at the same time, we have a patent, a PCT of microencapsulation technology. We already filed in European Union and also in USA. Mm-hmm. So we are looking for potential clients or partners to make alliances and see how is the best work to work together. And is what we are looking for. We want to be with the leaders in the market and to talk to them. We already are talking with DSM, Evonik, Nutreco, Alterion. So yeah, that is amazing for us. And we know that we have something viable here, something with high value. We keep working in that in Europe.
And another reason why we're setting our operations in Europe is because of the technology development and the equipment. And like all these agreements we can make with different research groups
and so on that could help us to, like you say, like get into the faster lane to reach all the technical results that the market expects from us. If we stay here in Latin America, that's not going to happen as fast as we want. So we have to move like our scientific operations to Europe or US.
Okay, that's interesting. let's assume that you could put a wish to let's say a fairy, and describe your ideal partner that would help you the most right now. How would the ideal business partner look like?
Oh my God.
The ideal. I think
in a perfect world.
Yeah.
In a perfect world.
In a perfect world. Okay. First, I think we need to have the same purpose, the same high purpose. To believe that we can transform this the way that we produce animal protein right now, the patient, because this is not an easy solution. It takes time, and biotech takes time. And yeah, we combine artificial intelligence, but also biotechnology. So it need to take some time. But also, I can say that he needs to be connected with the animal nutrition market in order to boost our growing. And if we can connect well, he can be less patient because we can reach our our goals faster. But on the other hand, we need someone to understand better his position. Is he was going to be just an investor, or is he going to be a partner who works with us and understand the dynamics of the business and all these challenges that we need to overcome every day. So but in general, something that make match with us.
Yeah, and I would add that he or she must understand that they're not investing in Latin America, but in a global solution.
Yeah, that is super key because we are a global startup. We are founded here in Latin America, but we'll be there in Europe too soon. And we want to become a global startup. Then we will be in Asia, US, and we are moving around the world because the solution and the technology we have is changing things. So
in case it resonates with an investor or business partner or corporation that listens to the podcast, if I understood you right, you're open to investments in Latin America, in your current company, but also in setting up operations here in Europe so that also investors could invest in a European entity.
Yeah.
That's great news.
Yeah. We're actually settling our operations in the Netherlands in January 2022. So it's for sure it's European investor, if they don't want to like take the risk of bringing their money to Latin America, then they can invest in our headquarters in the Netherlands next year.
We call second floor a startup company. Mm-hmm. The first floor is the operation that we already doing here in Colombia. We are increasing sales and we are expanding to the region. So it is the operation part. But in the second floor, who is more a strategic vision, we will establish our headquarters in Europe. And from there, we can management all the business unit in Latin America and also in Europe and also in the other part.
In Asia also.
In Asia, yeah. Asia is a huge market. Is the biggest market.
I believe that Asia is a pretty big market. I wouldn't necessarily say that investors won't invest in Latin America because of the risk. As far as I understand, the investment world, European funds very often have the regulation. They have set up their funds in a way that they allocate about 90% of their investment capital in Europe. It's just their regulations that they apply to. And if you create a company here in Europe, you just maximize the possibility for investors to invest in your story. So you tap in 100% of the investment capital. And when you just have your entity in Colombia, then people must be aware that they narrow down their options to 10%. So the remaining parts that can be allocated outside Europe, I think the same pretty much applies, I think, to many funds in North America that just have the regulations. So it's just the way they play the game.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So just assuming that one business partner or more business partners after listening to this podcast would like to reach out to you, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, they can contact us through our personal emails, which are, I don't know if you can write it in the podcast description or something, because I would say mauricio.agudelo@biotech.co or lina.toro@biotech.co, or they can look for us on LinkedIn. Like our company profile is Biotech, or you can look for us on like our personal profiles on LinkedIn, and then we can keep in touch. Yeah, that will be like the way if you think. The easy, yeah. Yeah, the easy one.
That's great.
Just say that you contact us through this podcast, because otherwise it will like hello. Yeah, we do receive sometimes some emails from foreign VCs that say that they're interested in investing in our initiative, but it's like, who are you? I don't know you. Like, I've never met you before. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of weird to receive those kind of miles. So I will be really grateful if you just say, I just heard a podcast from Life Science and I wanted to keep in touch with you. Then thanks a lot.
That's an entire new topic, but I like talking about it. Yes, I realized that even the world is connected through the internet. And the great thing is you can reach out to everybody. But sometimes when you don't know a person, it's like, is that real or is it just fake mail? And
it happens very often. So it's like, I don't know if I should answer this email, you know.
Yeah, this is a good point, because when people mention at least where they saw you or heard you, it helps probably building a little bit credibility on the other side that this is a real opportunity and not one of those mails that I get recently in higher frequency, where they just say, okay, we have a great investment opportunity, send us your email address and we get in touch or something like that. It's really a good idea. I was not aware of that, Lina. Lina, Mauricio, would you like to add something that we missed in this podcast?
Nothing comes to my mind. What about
no,
you?
No. I think it was a great conversation with you. Thank you so much for having us here. I really enjoy it.
Thank you very much for your time and that you participate in the podcast. I really like your story and I love your spirit. And keep that up. Keep moving forward and keep making the world a better place. I think if there are more young people like you, definitely we end up at a better spot in future.
Yes, thank you, Christian,
for your kind words. Have a great day and thank you very much. Stay safe. Bye.
Okay, bye you too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Please share the podcast and make sure you've subscribed. Have a great day.